Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. Be gentle. This is something that I tell my daughter and my son pretty regularly as they get older. Hopefully they learn this lesson better and better. But little children do have to be taught to be gentle. Otherwise, they are going to take toys away from each other by force. They're going to push each other and pull each other around and be a bit too physical. Children do need to be taught how to be gentle. But what about the rest of us? Being gentle is becoming somewhat of a lost art. Gentleness is a vital character trait. In fact, it's actually a fruit of God's Holy Spirit as well. You can find that in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. These fruits of the Holy Spirit come from the tree of life, God's way, the give way that produces these wonderful spiritual fruits, these aspects of godly character that we should strive to produce. We want to become just like God, hopefully. God is very gentle. And so gentleness is not something just to teach children. We all must work on developing this endearing and pleasant character trait. This is a quote from the August 1985 Good News magazine. Gentleness is a delicate sensitivity to the needs of others. After sensing the need, gentleness fulfills the need with loving care. That's an excellent definition of gentleness, a delicate sensitivity to the needs of others. Not just recognizing the need, but then fulfilling the need with loving care as well. In other words, gentleness is kindness. There are so many ways to be sensitive to the needs of others and to fulfill those needs with loving care, thereby becoming gentle. Of course, we can offer a smile, a hug, or a handshake to other people. We can take the time to talk to others instead of always hurrying past. We can ask questions about other people rather than talking so much about ourselves. In conversation, we should listen for the needs of others. It usually will come up in conversation. And then we can add those needs to our prayer list. Whenever possible, we can also step in and fulfill those needs for other people. What about keeping in touch with those who are alone? People who need contact via letters or email or the occasional phone call. There are so many ways to lovingly fulfill the needs of other people. Be sensitive to the needs of others and then fulfill those needs, which is how to be gentle. Gentleness is something that seems to be a real weakness among a lot of men. We tend to struggle to actually be gentle like we should. But just think of all the ways that men need to be gentle. We are often entrusted with a wife who is physically weaker than us and needs protection. And she has a lot of other emotional needs as well. Children, of course, are practically helpless without their parents. And so we men need to step up and take care of the needs of our children as well. They're, of course, very small, very weak compared to us. So we need to be gentle with our children. And then, of course, there's all kinds of opportunities in life to just serve people who are weaker than us or more disadvantaged, people who need help. But really, the area where it is the easiest to fall short in this area of gentleness is with our mate, with our spouse, our wife. This August 1985 Good News magazine also says, "Oh, how your mate needs God's gentleness from you. Do not let its delicate characteristics fool you either. It will make your mate feel secure and strong in your love." You see, gentleness is desperately needed in marriage. It's such an important character trait to strengthen a marriage and to make our wives feel safe. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And then verse 3 gives a description of one of those problems in these perilous last days. It says, "without natural affection." That is a huge problem in the world today. Lacking natural affection, not even having a carnal, selfish kind of love for our own flesh and blood, our own families, our own spouses and children. So we can easily think in marriage, well, of course I'll love my wife. Of course I'll treat her right. Of course I'll pay attention to my children and enjoy every aspect of raising them right. But in reality, in actual practice, it is very hard to have even natural affection for our own, because this is Satan's influence on the world. Satan makes it where most people today actually lack natural affection. We have to fight against that trend. We can't just assume that love will endure once we have married our sweetheart. It takes a lot of hard work to keep love alive in a marriage. It takes a lot of the tree of life producing the fruits of God's Holy Spirit, which includes gentleness. We need to display a lot of gentleness in marriage. And again, gentleness is being sensitive to the needs of others and then fulfilling those needs with love and care. Gentleness is kindness. There are some things we can do in marriage to really display gentleness. One thing is to establish the habit of going on one date each month. Obviously, more than that would be wonderful as well. But what about just at least having that baseline of one date per month? Date your wife. This is something we can easily overlook in marriage. We might think that dating is something that's done before marriage, but it has to be done during marriage as well. There has to be valuable, productive, one-on-one time in marriage rather than just always being with the children. My father has always emphasized the value of a midday phone call. Taking a few minutes during lunch break to call your wife on the phone. Let her know you're thinking of her. Let her know that you miss her, that you're excited to see her that evening when you come home from work. This is the kind of small gesture that means so much to a wife. Making cards, buying flowers, maybe placing notes of appreciation around the house, remembering and celebrating anniversaries. These are all ways to keep the love alive in marriage. These are all more tender, gentle behaviors that we husbands need. That August 1985 Good News issue says, today, gentleness is equated with weakness. But the truth is that your marriage may be weakened by a lack of gentleness. Examine your own nature. Are you gentle or harsh with your mate? Better yet, if you really want to know, ask your mate. Ask your mate if you are really gentle. I have done this. I did this a few weeks ago. And my wife readily gave me several areas where I could be more gentle toward her. She mentioned my tone of voice sometimes, or maybe times where I lack patience, or maybe I'm not gentle enough in my interactions with the children. Maybe I could tolerate a little bit more silliness from them when appropriate, of course. Now, obviously, for us men especially, being gentle is not easy. It's very much on the velvet side of the Man of Steel and Velvet. But obviously, gentleness is well worth the effort to develop. Romans 6, verses 4 and 5 talk about burying the old man, putting to death the old man or the old way of doing things, the old you, who you used to be. That Good News issue says it's time for you to change, to repent and bury the old, cold you. Promote the new, caring, gentle child of God in you. We have an incredible book at thetrumpet.com available to you for free titled Biblical Manhood, written by Mr. Joel Hilliker. And section 5.3 is titled Understand Her. Understand her. As is often said, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. It's like we're coming from different planets. We are aliens to each other. It's very difficult to understand the opposite sex, but it is worth the investment to make sure we understand. 1 Peter 3, verse 7 tells a man to dwell with his wife according to knowledge. Mr. Hilliker writes here on page 225 of Biblical Manhood, men, we have some studying to do. And this whole page basically is full of treasure. He says you need to talk to your wife, gain insight from her, notice her, learn from her. You must become knowledgeable about what her life is really like. Gain skill at recognizing her perspective. Know what she is going through, her itinerary, her obligations, her physical limitations, her health, her desires, her dreams. How good are you at seeing things from her perspective? How much knowledge do you have about what your wife's life is really like? What is it like, for example, being around the children alone for hours on end? What is it like to see every mess as yet another job to do? What is it like to try finding, affording, and wearing modest yet feminine clothing? What is it like to try to create nutritious meals every day, year after year? What is it like to have her particular social life? You see, there's so much that a woman experiences that is very different from a man's everyday life. And how easy it can be for a husband and a wife to live past each other, not with each other, to be like ships in the night, wandering past each other, perhaps being in the same room with each other from time to time, but not really connecting, not really uniting mind and heart. The woman has a very different role in marriage. Ephesians 5 verse 24 tells her to be subject unto her husband in everything, as though her husband is a type of Jesus Christ. How difficult do you think it must be for your wife to submit to you, even when she maybe doesn't understand or agree with your decisions? Mr. Hilliker writes, do you make it easy and pleasant and gratifying for her to fulfill that commandment? That's a real self-examination question for us. Are we really seeing from our wife's perspective and trying to be understanding? On page 226, Mr. Hilliker writes, real communication is a genuine, sincere expression of thoughts and feelings. He references Ephesians 4, verse 15, which tells us to speak the truth in love. There are certain truths that must be said. If a husband is irritated by something that's happening in the home, certainly he should address it. He should confront it if he doesn't think things are being done correctly by his wife. But he still must speak the truth in love. Mr. Hilliker explains that sometimes confrontation is exactly what it means to speak the truth in love. And maybe the truth hurts, but it should be, as Mr. Hilliker says, the good kind of hurt. That's here on page 227. We should never seek to win an argument with our wives. After all, we're on the same team. We're not trying to gain victories against our own team. The whole point of a confrontation is to speak the truth in love, to still be tender, to still be appropriately firm, to be positive and helpful, and to come to some sort of understanding or agreement. Real communication requires daily effort. Mr. Hilliker describes here a lot of different levels of communication. Obviously, there's small talk. There's reporting facts about other people. There's expressing ideas and judgments based on events and what is happening around us. But then the communication becomes even more deep when we bring our feelings and emotions into it. And we should become comfortable sharing our full mind and heart with our spouse. Listening is a gentle aspect of communication. James 1 verse 19 says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Now, understanding a wife means really paying close attention to what she's saying, but also what is behind the words she is using. Sometimes wives will imply things rather than say them outright. And gentleness means expending the necessary effort and doing the necessary study to understand exactly what our wives mean so that we can help fulfill their needs. We even need to be prayerful about this, asking God to help us understand the need. So much of our gentleness is conveyed in our communication, as it talks about here. And how easy is it for a man in communication to just grunt like a caveman and not really put much effort into gentle interactions with a wife or with anyone else? James 3 is a chapter all about bridling the tongue. It's an extremely challenging task for us every day to say the right words, but not only that, to say the right words in the right way, in a gentle way that is warm and pleasant and agreeable for other people to hear. We have to have a soft answer, a soft tongue, giving answers with humility, gentleness, and respect. We have to be approachable. We have to make people around us feel comfortable and welcome and safe. These are things that men must learn. These are all gentle character traits. We have a lot we can learn from women in this area of gentleness. Like I said before, God is really very gentle. God patiently listens to our prayers and delicately handles our needs. God always does what is best for us. He's very sensitive to our needs and fulfills them perfectly. Notice this quote from Jesus Christ himself, Matthew 23, verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that kill the prophets and stone them which are sent unto you, how often would I have gathered your children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and you would not. God wants to gather us like a hen would gather its chicks. God wants to protect us under his wings or in his bosom. He wants to keep us safe and warm. And we should be the same way with everybody. Gentleness is part of God's character. It should become part of our character as well. Like I said, gentleness is a fruit of God's Holy Spirit. It's a product of God's mind being in us. And God giving us the power through his Holy Spirit to develop in this area. Gentleness is vital for men. It's vital for everyone. It's not just something we should tell our children to do. We shouldn't just tell them to be gentle without really examining how gentle we actually are and trying to improve in that area as well. So to become like God, we need to become gentle. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments@kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.